Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 14, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 47 through 62. Allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your glory, your goodness, your mercy, your loving kindness toward us, oh God. And Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, Jesus Has All Power and Glory. And we're going to see in verse 62 that when they apprehended our Savior, and they were mocking him, interrogating him, and questioning him. And we're going to see that it was a monkey court, an illegal court at night, because they don't have courts at night. But they did it so that the public, the people that truly honored him, that they didn't want them to know that they had apprehended the Son of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're going to see in verses 47 through 62, and we're going to allow the Holy Ghost to take us where he needs to tonight. Amen? So, let's read. And one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you did not take me. But the scriptures must be fulfilled." Verse 50, then they all forsook him and fled. Did you catch that? All the disciples, it started with the one of the betrayer. Then one by one, they fled. My goodness. I'm going to speak on that in a minute. Now a certain young man followed him, having a linen cloth thrown around his naked body. And the young men laid hold of him. And he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. Wow. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests, all the elders and the scribes, all the religious folks. But Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and he warmed himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and all the council sought testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. For many bore false witnesses against him, but their testimonies did not agree. In other words, they were scheming up lies, deceitful lies. They were false. It was fake news. Then some rose up and bore false witness against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands.' But not even then did their testimony agree." Verse 60, and the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, "Do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you?" But he kept silent and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him, saying to him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" They really wanted to know. And Jesus said, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." Amen. And so let's go back and break this down. Mark 14, verse 47. And one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Saints, according to John 18:10, the person who pulled out a sword was Peter and cut off the right ear of a servant named Malchus. Peter was trying to prevent what he saw as defeat. He wasn't going to let this crowd arrest Jesus without putting up a fight. Look how Luke describes this. But Jesus answered and said, "Permit even this." And he touched his ear and healed him. So when that ear was lopped off, Jesus picked it back up and placed it on his head, and it was made whole. Wow. Wow. Just imagine the pain of losing your ear at that moment, and then all of a sudden, the pain is gone, the ear is whole. Man, is that a miracle or what? Let me just say this. When God touched our sick soul, we were immediately healed. Can I get amen? That's right. When we got saved, God filled us with His Spirit, amen? And we were made whole. Praise God. God gave us joy unspeakable and full of glory. And so when God touches your life, you'll be made whole. Praise God. So Jesus then told Peter to put away his sword and allow God's plan to unfold. Peter didn't realize that Jesus had to die in order to gain victory. But saints, Jesus demonstrated perfect commitment to his Father's will. Remember, we were talking about, it's all about the Father's will. His kingdom would not be advanced with swords, but with faith and obedience. Aren't you so blessed that no one whipped you to the cross? When I was a kid, when we were small, my dad would force us to get on the barber seat in Tijuana. We would go down and get haircuts down there, and he would grab us by our ears and pull, and we had to get on that chair. Aren't you so blessed that God didn't grab you by the ears and drag you to the cross? No. It was his loving kindness that drew you to repentance. He allowed circumstances in your life that you would fall on your face and you would cry out to him. Can I get an amen? So let's go to the next verse. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching you, and you did not take me." In other words, how come you didn't apprehend me then? But the scriptures, what? Must be fulfilled. And so Jesus protested not his arrest, but the way he was arrested. It was at night. Everyone had gone home. The courts were closed. Well, now here in San Diego, they may have some night courts, but typically in Israel during this time, in this era, no. Everyone had gone home. Courts opened up in the morning. So they didn't need to come against him with weapons. Why? For he was voluntarily surrendered. He just surrendered himself. And we all understand that he laid down his life. No one took his life. Can I get amen? He laid it down for you and I. Because he saw us 2,000 years later. Hallelujah. And we were already in the mind of Christ before we were even conceived in our mother's womb. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. And so, saints, Jesus also, he mocked their show of worldly power. He who could summon angels were not afraid of swords. He just rebuked them for their wrongdoing. Did the guards imagine that swords would intimidate Jesus? Mm-mm. They didn't understand who he was, that scriptures had to be fulfilled. But this was prophesied of his ridicule. It was already proclaimed in the scriptures that when Jesus would come into this world, eventually he would be ridiculed and mocked and tortured for our sake. Look what it says here in Psalms 22. "All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the hip. They shake the head saying, 'He trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him since he delights in him.' But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. Wow, look at this. In verse 10, I was cast upon you from birth, from my mother's womb. You have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Look at this. Strong bulls of Bashan have circled me. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. And that's what his tormentors were doing. It was prophesied. It was foretold already in the scriptures. Look at how Isaiah said this. I gave my back to those who struck me and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. Jesus took it all for us. He endured the cross for us. So verse 50. Then they all forsook him and fled. Man, they ran like little scaredy cats. Remember when you were as a kid? And I remember just in junior high when a fight broke out. And I really didn't understand fighting at the time. But a big old fight broke out. And I remember, I'm going to fess up. I ran. I was scared. I've never seen anything like it until later on. When I got into high school, it was a different story back then. But when I saw it for the first time, I was shaken. I remember probably the biggest riots in all of San Diego was at Lindo Lake Parks. And I was there with my friends, the Portillo family, the Juarez family, and a big giant riot broke out between those two families and the Indians from the reservation. It was ugly, and I was frightened to death. But I'm here to let us know that Jesus, he took the mockery and the beating for you and I. Can I get amen? So just hours earlier, these disciples had vowed never to desert Jesus, and Judas's kiss marked a turning point for the disciples, and Jesus's loyal disciples deserted him and ran away. The teacher who had held forth in the temple was now under arrest. The teacher, for 3.5 years, he ministered to them. He loved on them. He raised the dead. He healed the sick. The blind could see. The mute can talk. The lame can walk. And yet, for no reason, they mocked him, they tortured him, and his own disciples left him. They left him. One of the things that I have learned in 30 years of being saved and being in a huge, giant church at Mission Valley Christian Fellowship, and I remember many leaders and pastors and wonderful people were raised up, and they all loved our pastor, and I loved him too. And yet I saw many that would just leave without any word. Some left frustrated and disgruntled. Some left for good reasons. But I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen it in our church. And God is guarding my heart. He says, don't take it personal. If they left Jesus, they will leave the man and woman of God too. Because it's all about Jesus. It's not about us. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. And we see in Scripture what happened to him. And if you stand for righteousness and you stand for the things of God, guard your heart. Because even the ones that say, hey, I love you, man, I'm with you, then all of a sudden they're not there with you no more. And God has to give you a special heart for that so that you're not walking around distraught and broken. You have to keep pressing. Keep the fight of good faith. Finish your race. Can I get an amen? Finish it. And finish it well. Though none come with me, yet I will still follow. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Verse 51. Now a certain young man followed him, having a linen cloth thrown around his naked body. And the young men laid hold of him. And he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. Saints, only Mark records the incident of this young man who also fled the scene. Tradition says that this young man may have been John Mark, the writer of this gospel, in whose home the Last Supper may have taken place. If that is true, saints, at some point Mark had awakened from the sleep. He had probably been sleeping in a linen nightshirt or had a sheet wrapped around him and had followed the disciples to the garden. We don't know this very clear. And perhaps soldiers had come to the house looking for Jesus, and this young man had attempted to warn Jesus before the soldiers reached him. Strong possibility. But in Gethsemane, the crowd had already arrested Jesus, and the disciples had fled. And you could imagine when a whole army comes with swords that will lop off your head, fear would strike your heart too. Can I get amen? I don't blame them from running because they didn't have the power of the Holy Ghost yet. The Messiah was there, but they weren't born of God yet. And so they were like you and I, people of flesh and blood that experience highs and lows, faith and also fear. And so someone grabbed this young man, perhaps hoping to use him as a witness that the young man had escaped and ran away naked. So it is mentioned there in Scripture. Now let's go to verse 53. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes. They're religious folks. They had head knowledge of God, but they didn't have the Spirit of God living in them. Jesus called them, "You are filled with dead men's bones. You are whitewashed tombs, empty, yet pious and religious on the outside." They looked good, but they were rotten to the core on the inside. And they used the people. And so, saints, by now it was very early Friday morning before daybreak. Jesus was taken under guard from the garden into Jerusalem. First, he was questioned by Annas, the former high priest and father-in-law of Caiaphas. Now, Annas had been Israel's high priest from A.D. 6 to 15. And when he had been deposed by the Roman rulers, then Caiaphas had been appointed the high priest. So Annas is also mentioned in Scripture. He had held that position, Caiaphas, from 18 to 36 AD, all the way through 37. And according to the tradition of the Jewish law, the office of the high priest was held for life until death. It was a monarchy. It was almost like a socialist company or a country where that ruler continues to rule despite of the people's choice of leader. So whoever holds the power rules. And if you came against the rule of the day, you were persecuted and killed. So they didn't have no rights back then. No different from what's taking place in Venezuela today. It's a socialist country. And look, it's already to its doom. I don't know if you've seen any of the news clips, but there's neighborhoods after neighborhoods eating out of dump trucks. There's no food. There's no electricity. Pray for them in Venezuela. Pray for them that God would deliver them and they would come back to prominence. It's only been 15 years and they may have gotten into a poverty state. Well, back in these times, in these Roman times, the Jewish people were under the same oppression. And there was one ruler that ruled illegally in the land of Israel, and those were the Caesars. But yet, the Jewish religious leaders commingled with the Romans. They were slaves to them, but they wanted to sit in high places, and they hated Jesus. Why did they hate Jesus? They hated Jesus because they thought that he would rule then and there. They didn't understand that Jesus didn't come to rule that day. He came to save us. Can I get amen? He came to save us. He came a whole different way. He came as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. But when he comes back, saints of God, he's coming back with a rod of iron. And he will rule from Jerusalem, and all the nations will come and worship the King. Can I get an amen? And that's soon to come. We are in the last days. I hope you know that. That's right. I'm getting an amen left and right from that child. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, God. Yes. Hey, listen. That name, Annas, is mentioned in the Word. Look at this. And in John chapter 11, and one of them, Caiaphas, being high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you consider it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people and not for the whole nation." What? Should what? Perish. Should perish. Saints, however, many Jews still considered Annas to be the high priest. Annas may have asked to question Jesus after his arrest. And was given first rights to do so. The hearing is described in John. Then the detachment of the troops and the captain and the officers arrested Jesus, bound him, and they led him away to Annas first. Because they considered Annas to be the high priest. They didn't look at Caiaphas as the high priest. This Caiaphas came in, and you got to remember how Caiaphas died. He died with his belly bursting open and the worms were eating it up. Judgment came to him. Let me tell you, when you come against the kingdom of God, God doesn't immediately judge you right then and there. But if your heart is hardened against the things of God, your day's numbered. That man, his days was numbered. So they led him away to Annas. First, he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. Now, it was Caiaphas who advised the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. They were scheming this whole thing up, saints. Scheming it all up. Look at verse 15. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Now, the disciple was known to the high priest, and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door outside. Then the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. Peter was like, he was torn. Remember, he says, "I will die for you, Jesus." But yet he was still afraid. Oh, but when the Holy Ghost came in the book of Acts chapter 2, he didn't care anymore at that point. And this is why we don't care anymore. Can I get amen? Because we've been born again, saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled. The Bible says we are now not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? For it's the power of God unto salvation. First to the Jew, then to us. But Peter, who would be the rock, who Jesus is, I will build my church upon this rock. Eventually, the plan and the will of God was fulfilled in the book of Acts. Amen? Look at this. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, "Hey, you are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I'm not." A little girl. He was scared to tell the little girl, "Yeah, that's me, so what?" He said, "I'm not." Why? He was afraid for his life. He knew that if he would give himself away, they would come and apprehend him too, and they would beat him and put him on a cross. He said, "I'm not." And the servants and the officers who made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself too. My. Look at verse 19. Then the high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. Jesus answered, "I spoke openly to the world. I was also taught in the synagogues and the temple where the Jews always meet. And in secret, I have said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me and what I said to them. Indeed, they know what I said." They were trying to entrap him. This was an illegal court. How many of you know people that were falsely arrested? Do you know anyone that was falsely arrested? Well, right now, there's a movement. There are people in prison who have been falsely accused and have been in prison for many years. And now that we have DNA, it's proven that that was a false accusation. Well, this was false. It was false. Look what else it says here in John. "And when he had said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, 'Do you answer the high priest like that?' Jesus answered and said, 'If I had spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why do you strike me?' Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest." You know what? I'm not going to deal with it. Saints, after that preliminary hearing, Jesus was then taken to the high priest's home. All the religious leaders had been speedily assembled. Shows that all this was a trial by the Jewish council of religious leaders consisting of 70 members plus the high priest. It was a monkey court. They all colluded with one another. They were all in on it. They hated the Son of God. Let me ask you this question. Does our culture today love Jesus? It's no different, is it? Our universities, our high schools, our middle schools, our elementaries have kicked the name of Jesus out. Jesus is an enemy to this culture. And this is why we see this culture, this society, this country of ours. I'm going to say it as plain as I can, is all going to hell into a handbasket. And the church needs to wake up and pray. Can I get amen? We need to be the light of the world. We need to be brighter than the darkness. Can I get amen? So they finally had Jesus where they wanted him. And they were determined to accomplish their plans as quickly as possible. And so back to verse 54 in Mark chapter 14. "But Peter followed him at a distance right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire." And so, saints, although the disciples had fled when the soldiers arrested Jesus, two of them, Peter and another disciple, perhaps John, returned to where Jesus was taken. And it says here in John 18, "And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple." Now that disciple was known to the high priest and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door, and we read that. Then the other disciple who was known to the high priest went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. So as you can see this story unfolding, The high priest's residence was a palace with gates and outer walls enclosing a courtyard. Here, saints, a charcoal fire was burning around which the servants and guards were warming themselves against the early morning chill. You got to remember, it snows sometimes in Jerusalem. It gets cold up there. Praise God. It could be 105 degrees in the desert, and it could be 73 up in Jerusalem. I'd rather be up there in the cool. Amen. So let's go to verse 55. Now the chief priests and all the council sought testimony against Jesus, what? To put him to death. But they found none. It was a mockery. Fake news. Oh yeah. It was lies schemed up. Lies to try to incriminate him. And they had arrested him deceitfully. For many bore what? False witness against him. But their testimonies did not agree. So one was saying, no, it was like this. No, it was like that. But they didn't mesh. Why? Because there were lies. they were lies. So saints, upstairs to the high priest's palace, the leading priest and the entire high council, meaning the group of 71 leaders of the Jews, priests, considered respected men, assembled in the middle of the night to get this trial underway. It was a mock court. I call it a monkey court. But they had a dilemma on their hands, because they knew in their heart of hearts this was an innocent man. Yet they were conceiving in their own dark heart to try to destroy the Son of God who would come to die for our sins. They were trying to find witnesses who would testify against Jesus so they could put him to death, but they couldn't find any. Till this day, even forensic scientists who have gone through the scriptures, and I believe there was a movie and a book regarding Jesus. Someone helped me think of that movie that came out not about a year ago. And it was all about finding the truth of how they put him to death. I know one of you will remember. It'll come to me in a moment. No, it wasn't. No. Oh, no. This was a true. The Case for Christ. There you go. The Case for Christ. That's right. And he proved scientifically that it was a mockery, and that he went to the cross illegally. But it was God's plan. Can I get amen? It was God's plan. And we thank and praise God. Hallelujah. So these leaders held a trial in keeping with all the trappings of their law, while their whole purpose was to kill Jesus. Ironically, saints, these religious guardians of the law were breaking one of the Ten Commandments. You got to remember, these guys were men of the book. They were the lawgivers. They were the scribes. They were the Sadducees. They were the ones that wrote the scribes. And they kept them in a place like this, similarly, like we see behind me. And yet they broke their own law. Look what Exodus says. Do not testify falsely. Exodus, that's one of the Ten Commandments. They broke one of the Ten Commandments. In other words, don't accuse your brother falsely. They had nothing on him. So let's move on to verse 57. Then some rose up, bore false witness against him, saying, look what we heard him say. I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. But not even them did their testimony agree. It didn't. Why? Because, listen, lies don't go, they only go so far. And then the truth comes forth, and the lie is destroyed. Truth will always prevail. Can I get an amen? Truth will always, listen, you can get away with things in life for a while, and they could be lies. And yet the Bible says God will uncover your sin. The Bible says your sin will find you out. And that's what happened. They were all guilty. Can I get an amen? All guilty. And so in verse 57, once again, they rose up and bore false witness. And they heard him say, I will destroy this temple made with his hands. What temple was he talking about? That's right. He wasn't talking about the physical temple. He was talking about his temple. That he would be crucified, he would die, and he would rise again. And that he would raise up his own temple. Can I get an amen? And so, finally, they found some men who would testify against him with a lie regarding Jesus about the temple. These men twisted Jesus' words. Why? Because their testimony, even on this same point, did not agree. The witnesses claimed that Jesus had said he could destroy the temple in Jerusalem. To them, it was blasphemous. But such a claim would bring wrath from even the Romans because destroying temples was considered a capital offense. So they're looking at him that he's going to come with some type of army and destroy the whole city of Jerusalem, especially the temple. And all that followed him was 12 disciples and other people that were there for good reasons and wrong reasons. Some people followed him because all they wanted to see was a circus. They weren't really there to glorify God and to praise God for all the wondrous works he had done. However, saints, Jesus had not spoken in the first person, I will destroy, nor had he anything linking the words with the temple building. Instead, Jesus had spoken in the second person plural, issuing a command. And this is what he said. He said, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will what? Build another and made without hands. Praise God. Saints of God, I need you to understand this. That our life here on earth is not the end game. Because when we get raised up in our new bodies, it will not be made out of human hands. Can I get amen? Praise God for our mother and father, and we were conceived in our mother's womb. But the DNA has humanity on it. The new body that God is raising up doesn't have human hands in it. Hallelujah. We're going to have a whole brand new body, and it's going to be just like Jesus's body when he rose from the dead. It will no longer die again. How many can't wait for that body? Oh, come on. I think everybody's hand went up. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, of course, was talking about his body, not the building. These religious leaders were outside of their mind. They were lost, far gone. They were just false accusers of the Lord Jesus Christ and those who followed him. I'm here to tell you tonight that our world today is not your friend. I hope you know that. It's not your friend. No. Our true friends are those who love the Lord thy God with all their heart, soul, and mind, who have been changed from the inside out, who have his spirit living within them. Those are your friends. Those who will know how to pray for you, how to lift you up, how to edify you, and not to destroy you, and not to mock you, and not to belittle you. True children of God have the love of God, the compassion of Christ living within them. And they won't look at their lives anymore Because they know that their lives have to die to self. Can I get amen? And God has called us for such a time as this to be a light, to help our brother and sister, to build them up, build their character. Listen, if I can help someone get built up, guess what? They can help someone else and pass it on. And you will know that God had used you for such a time as that. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 60, and the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, do you answer nothing? What is it with these men that testify against you? Man, they were frustrated at that. Just imagine. They were so furious, and they were filled with rage, and they just wanted him to say, just say you're God. Caiaphas, the high priest, was getting frustrated. Now, his only hope was to get Jesus to say something that would give them evidence to convict him. The religious leaders had tried and failed on prior occasions to entrap Jesus with trick questions. Caiaphas tried to make up in intimidation what was lacking in evidence. So I can't get him to speak. So let me try to torment him to speak a lie. My. He asked Jesus to answer his accusers and then to explain the accusations against him. Look what it says here in verse 61. But he kept silent and answered nothing. Praise God. Jesus could have, he could have fended for himself. That's right. He said, no. And again, the high priest asked him, saying to him, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Are you the one? Jesus refused to say anything. He had nothing to say to the group of liars who had spoken against him. And he had no reason to explain to a bunch of false accusers. So he made no reply. This had been prophesied in Scripture. Look at this, says in Isaiah. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent. So he opened not his mouth. Aren't you so blessed? Jesus kept hush for us. He didn't give nothing away. They didn't need to know who he was. Can I get amen? He kept silent for us. So saints, with Jesus' silence, the court proceedings ground, it came to a halt. But Caiaphas had another tactic up his sleeve of his priestly robe. He decided to ask Jesus point blank. And so this is what he asked him. Are you the Messiah? Are you the Messiah? The council must have held its collective breath in anticipation. All right, he asked them the question, and they were probably just going, Here was the question that could make or break the entire plot. Would Jesus outright claim to be the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed God? And so we may wonder why Jesus refused to answer the question and then chose to answer this one. Matthew's account points out that Caiaphas had put Jesus under oath. So now, they were trying to entrap him. And according to the Levitical law, it says this, if a person sins in hearing the utterance of an oath and is a witness, whether he has seen or known of the matter, if he does not tell it, he bears guilt. So they asked him point blank, are you the Messiah? And who is Jesus? He is the what? The Word. The whole Bible is all about him. He is the Word that became flesh. So they put him to test. Are you the Messiah? Look how Matthew says and answers this. Look at this. But Jesus kept silent, and the high priest answered and said, I put you under oath. So they were using the Levitical law against him. I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, it is as you said. He said, you said it. Look at that. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And after he had answered that question, they went into hysteria. Look at this. Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look, you have heard his blasphemy. They told him he was the Son of God. He goes, you said it. Jesus said, yeah, I'm the Son of God. No, you said it. So if you said it, then I am. Man, you cannot entrap the Savior. Can I get amen? He used the law and he put it right back at him. Yeah. Even a child gets it. Hallelujah. Saints, Caiaphas' action was unlawful in trial proceedings, but no one voiced that fact to him. As mentioned above, this trial had nothing to do with justice. It was merely a ploy to get rid of Jesus. And in verse 62, as we close, he says, I am, and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power, coming with the clouds of heaven. Saints of God, I'm here to let us know once again, we are at the season again. The Feast of Trumpets is around the corner. Could it be this season? Could it be this year that the archangel will blast the trumpet of God? The dead in Christ shall rise first, then we that are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with the Lord forevermore. How many can't wait for that to take place? I truly believe that before the tribulation kicks in, God is going to take the bride of Christ out of this earth. Hallelujah. And he's going to hide us in his pavilion and allow the indignation to come and to judge this world. Can I get an amen? Amen. God is good. Do we serve a mighty God?
Yes, we do.
Do we serve the living God?
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God. You see, this was prophesied thousands of years before the mockery court, before Jesus was held in this unlawful court. In the book of Psalms, says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. And in the book of Daniel, Daniel's our key. Look what Daniel says. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the ancient days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. And his kingdom, the one which shall not be, what? Destroyed. Saints of God, I'm here to comfort your hearts. Jesus is soon to return. And when he returns, he's going to destroy the kingdom of this earth. World that we see now, and it will all line up to the will of God. Hallelujah. And you and I, we will be changed and we will be like him. Hallelujah. And when he comes, he's bringing his rewards with him. That's right. How many believe that God has a reward for you? Oh, yes, he does. So whatever you're doing now, what you've done in the past, your labor of love for the kingdom of God will not come back void. Can I get amen?
Amen.
God is going to remember everything that we've done for him. Everything. And he will come out of nowhere and he will bless your mind. He will bless your life. He will bless your home. He will bless your children. He will bless your finances. He'll bless your health. He will lift you up in the times of despair because we serve a mighty God. We serve an awesome God. And he's worthy to be praised. Can I get an amen? Come on, give him a shout of praise and glory. Come on, praise him tonight. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. We magnify you, God. Hallelujah, Lord God. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord God. Saints of God, we're reading right now. We're being reminded of this mockery, but it had to be. It had to be because he had you and I in mind. Can I get an amen? Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you, God, for your goodness and grace. We thank you for this story that continues to build. And Lord, we know, Lord, in the weeks to come, we're going to read it once again and be reminded of the crucifixion. But God, thank you. Thank you that you died in our stead. We were the ones that needed to go to the cross because of our sin. But you took our sin upon that cross that we would have life and life more abundantly. That we would be saved and delivered from this untoward generation. Oh God, thank you for this great salvation. Thank you, God, for what you are doing in our lives. And Lord, I know, God, soon and very soon, you will come and rule and reign, and you will take possession back and take everything from the devil and cast them into the pit and bound them up for 1,000 years. And eventually he will be tossed into the lake of fire. But I'm praying for those who are listening to this message that maybe never have given their heart to you, God. Lord, I'm praying, Lord, that you would give them a mind to be saved. Give them a heart to repent. Lord, I pray, Lord, that they would cry out and say, oh God, I'm a wretched person. Save me, God. If God is moving on your heart right now and he's giving you that mind and you hear his still voice saying, come unto me, all ye that are heavy burdened and laden, and I will give you rest for your soul. If that is you, cry out to him right now. We cried out, you cry out, and watch God do the miraculous in your life. Watch him save you from the guttermost to the uttermost. He will place you on solid ground. He will clothe you with his righteousness. He will cover you with his blood. If that is you, cry out and say, Lord Jesus, I need you now, God. Forgive me of my sin. Forgive me for my wrongdoings. Oh God, I do believe on your death, burial and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give them a shout of praise in the house.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.